this week's interviews with Roland Grappo, former Helloween guitarist and obviously the guitar player of the band Masterplan and founding member of that band. And Roland, talk about what you currently have going on. I know you do a lot of record producing. You do a lot of mixing, mastering, a lot of really cool stuff as far as the studio goes. And obviously you have Masterplan and things going on with that. So talk a bit about what you currently have going on and some of the projects you're doing and what you're currently doing right now.
Yeah, what I'm doing. So I think it looks like the business, main business I'm doing is like mixing producer kind of guy, which I think I told you many years already, but it's getting more and more busy, which I'm happy because I'm also developing. And I think in this business is something you're always learning, you're always developing, and I think it's something you can improve your sound or the work you're doing like every 6 months or every year, you can say. To a certain level, I hope I'm still learning. So, but I think now I'm getting better and better, and I'm pretty happy. I just nearly finished the new Masterplan mix, and a lot of bands now doing, and just did another Slovakian band, Czech band, German band, Squealer, really good guys. I know these guys from the old times, from the AFM record, and so I have a lot of more bands to come here this year, and a lot of plans. So it looks pretty good. So I'm happy to survive with a music business somehow.
And do you think becoming multi-talented in the music business? I mean, obviously you're a guitar player, and you know, in a pretty famous heavy metal band, and you know, now you know you left there and you were only doing Masterplan, but now that you're producing stuff and doing other things in the music industry, has that enabled you to survive and keep going, making a living doing music?
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, so I try to, I think the picture changed a bit. I think I'm not living so much from the Masterplan side anymore. So to be honest, because of the download situation of the whole worldwide music business. But there are a lot of bands, like famous, not famous, young bands, they still want to follow their dreams, and they need a producer, they need a mixing engineer. And of course, with a certain experience, you can reach these people, or they're reaching you because you're kind of famous from the Helloween years or from Masterplan. And, you know, I started pretty late with this business, to be honest. I was I think 2008 or 2009 I did the first band, so it's not even 10 years. But like I told you before, so you get better and better. And I had a lot of friends helping me. I think I told this before already. I mean, the Finvox Studio guys, I was learning a lot. Tommy Hansen, I stole some ideas. And I think the biggest influence is Andy Sneap, you know. And also as a producer, which is not so involved in the mixing period or, let's say, business from my experience. I mean, let's say Roy Z. I mean, the producing on the guitar side or on the vocal side and arranging songs, I learned a lot as well. But that's a different thing, you know. So it's just, you have to be, I think this nowadays you have to be into the whole business and everything. You can't be just to be a guitar player or just a singer. I think if you're not one of the best or of the best, you're lost. You know, you need to be an around kind of musician. And right. That's not easy. It's not easy. But if you want to survive and you want to live from this business, you have to go this way.
Right.
You
know?
Now, there's a book out called, you may have heard of it, it's called Damn the Machine, a Story of Noise Records. And there's some quotes from you in it and talking about how when you first got into Helloween and Pink Bubbles came out, everybody was blaming you because you were the new guy and everybody loved Kai Hansen, and that you were responsible for the sound and on that album that everybody really seemed to dislike at the time. And, you know, my question for you is, when you first joined Helloween, what was it like for you to join the band? There was a lot of conflict and a lot of things going on at the time, you know, right before Pink Bubbles came out and when you joined him, and talk about your experience in first joining Helloween.
Oh, I never read this book. I never heard about this story, but I think there's a certain amount of people who maybe followed the band from the beginning. Maybe they would blame me, but to be honest, when I joined the band was really weak. You know, I was not in that moment when I joined it. So because we still toured one long American tour, Japanese tour, and I felt like this is a dream for me because the whole band was strong. But then this period we waited for the studio recording for the Pink Bubbles was another 2 years. Mm-hmm. And in that time, the whole band went down. Oh my God, so many fights in the band. Really bad talking, we should change our style, blah, blah, blah. We should be like Queen, like pop, you know, like this. I mean, wonder why the Chameleon album came out. This was not my fault, you know. So when you hear the Pink Bubbles, what I played there, I mean, I was a new guy, and I hoped I can put myself on the strength of the other guys. But there was no strength. There was just a weak kind of leftovers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had really deep talk. I mean, my English was really bad at that time, but I had really a lot of talks with Chris Tsangalidis, which helped me a lot about, and he was like talking to the management and said, what's wrong with this band? The band is really not heavy metal in the moment. The only new guy, Roland Grappel, he said to the people, like Rod Smallwood and Andy Taylor, he said, this guy is making the only metal songs here. And it's true, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought, I wanted to filling the shoes of the missing part, which was Kai, and Kai was a strong part, you know. I tried the best, and if the other guys would be, like, amazing strong, I think nobody would talk about it so much, but it's too easy to blame me for this kind of situation. Yeah. You know?
Now, when you look back at Pink Bubbles Go Ape, you know, 25, 26 years later, you know, as a musician, how do you feel about the album, looking back in time and maybe thinking about how the album turned out and, you know, how the songs turned out? And now looking back 25, 26 years later, you know, how do you feel about Pink Bubbles Go Ape now?
It's kind of difficult, you know, because now I see everything from the far point and everything was easy and nice. But at that time, it wasn't. It wasn't really easy.
Right.
So I remember also Michael Kiske had a really problem to sing at all, because he felt psychological kind of weak, and he needed 1 or 2 weeks warming up, like jogging outside and mentally, because there was so much negative talk, you know. And mm-hmm. like I told you, I was a new guy. I was the oldest in the band. Maybe nobody knew it at that time because we looked quite close to each other, but I was 9 years older than Mikey Kiske, or 8 years older. And I felt like I was much more, you know, like 29, 31, something like that at the Pink Bubbles. And he was 20-something. And I said, oh, my God, I have much more experience than this guy. But he knew everything better than everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just too much problems with him and Wikey. And I was in the middle. I was a new guy. I wanted to make everybody happy. And I couldn't, you know. It was like they fight it all the time. So this kind of situation was one of the worst I could imagine to be as a professional musician. And the same, not so bad, was on the Chameleon, because there we agreed to get this direction together. Mm-hmm. Later, you know, right. Much later. But at that time, I think they were lost. They felt something we should change. Everything they had, we just kick off, you know, like, we don't need this anymore, the success of Keeper 1 and 2, come on, mm-hmm. Who cares, we just make something different, we make everything like Heavy Metal Hamsters, or Windmill was already recorded for the Pink Bubbles, not Chameleon, it was already recorded there. This song was dropped from the record label or from the management, I don't remember, but it was recorded already, and I felt, oh my God, this is like, okay, people say it's a beautiful song for the Chameleon. But at that time, I thought, another sleeping pill. So what is this?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
I really like the Keeper 2 album the most. Keeper 1 is great as well, but I love the Keeper 2 album. I'm a big fan of that. You know, so many good songs, great singing, great melodies. Everything was for me, okay, let's try to continue with this. And the same was from Chris, but the band wasn't there. So I had a mixed feeling, really. Right. The funny thing is, I don't know why, because maybe of this reunion now, I was thinking maybe I should release these old videos we had, these private videos or something, you know, like only for band members recorded in the studio. And somehow it's a great feeling. Somehow, I mean, it will be very interesting for fans to see this, you know, like recording, like when we recorded, filming when we recorded the drums or playing together. Because at that time we were still playing together, you know, like mm-hmm. like the old times. And this feeling was nice, and some of the stuff was really nice. So it was a 50-50 feeling, I would say.
So here's a question I'm sure everybody wants me to ask you, and what do you think about this reunion going on right now with Helloween, bringing Kai and Michael Kiske back to do a tour?
My feelings, yeah. I mean, look at the world situation of music business. All these reunions about... farewell touring, I mean, you know, everybody about 60, 65 makes a farewell, like Scorpions for the last 10 years.
right.
And it will last. So it's all about making something extra. I mean, money. Halloween the same. I mean, I have contact to them, like you know, already a couple of times. And I knew about those rumors many years already as well. And I was never contacted. And the same with Uli. Uli and I were still in contact a little bit, not so much, but we write sometimes SMS or mails. And he was also like a little bit, let's say a little bit disappointed because not that we not asked for, but it looks like we never played in this band anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's posting pictures about them and we are left out. It was maybe a little bit hard for me for 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, but now I think I wouldn't even like to do it, to be honest. Of course, I like money, you know, to be honest, but I like my freedom as well. I don't want to have this fight anymore. I don't want this ego kind of thing anymore, you know. I'm too tired for that, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I have my freedom with Masterplan. I can do what I want. Okay, it's a different level. But it depends on the fans. I think it's always the same. If reunion, there's the name of the band, and the band gets 10, 20, 50 times more successful just of this reunion, you know?
Right.
But if you see Michael Kiske and Kai playing in Unisonic, why not so many people go to the show?
Right.
You know, it's the same. It's the same. They're waiting for something special, these people, and I don't know what it is. What is the difference between Michael Kiske singing in Avantasia or his solo albums or Unisonic and then Helloween? I mean, Helloween, he has to sing now. I think he was just basically for the fans. I mean, I'm really bad now talking. Basically for the fans, he was just famous for two albums.
Yeah.
Keeper 1 and 2, so yeah. The rest nobody talks so much about Pink Bubbles. I don't even think they play any song of them.
Right.
You know, so that's it. So you have a guy singing, let's say, Future World for the 50 millionth times. I Want Out. Okay. Okay. Now the good thing is maybe Eagles Are Free and the others like How Many Tears and. Okay, that's cool, but I don't see this you know, big hype about it. You know, and I don't know what's going on after that tour. So.
Yeah, you know, back when I first, you know, met you guys, you know, back in Helloween, you know, there always used to be something in the press about former members saying this and that. And now you don't hear any of that. Nobody's saying anything bad. Everybody's gotten older. And I think everybody, you know, just gets along now as opposed to maybe like 20 years ago. And, you know, people get older, you know, they tend to, you know, forgive things over the years and they tend to get along a lot better now. And it's kind of what I'm seeing with this reunion that's happening.
Yeah, I think it is like that. I mean, if I see the guys, well, we are hugging each other. I mean, not shaking hands, we're hugging each other.
I mean,
I like Michael. I saw him a couple of times. I saw Kai a couple of times. He was even here in my studio. There are some pictures existing not so long ago, 6 months ago. And I met other older guys from the band, Andy and Wyke. Never had problems with Sasha or Daniel or something. I mean, I never met Daniel personally, but Sasha was really nice to me. And I think that's it. There's no reason to make any problems. I love Uli. I love Jorn, you know, it's the ex-members of Masterplan, like Janis Eckert, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all friends. It's just, why we not play together? The main reason is business. The yeah. business is, if there's not big success, like everybody can survive and making big money. Right. You go and search for different paths, you know, passes, or how you say it.
Right.
It's the only reason. I think we're all good friends. I know Jorn is still proud of this band, what we did in the first two albums. And I think I also still like a lot of stuff from the Time to Be King, but it's just an example for the whole business, you know. And I think it's the same for Halloween. So Day Searching, I think the idea came from this reunion, came from Kai, as I heard.
Yeah.
And he said, if you're not doing this reunion, we're stupid. That's what he said. So, and he's right.
Yeah.
The only thing I complained a little bit was because Mikey Kiske said in an interview, I think a month or 2 months ago, something, I was pissed, I didn't want to join it. And I said just on my Facebook, like you saw, no, sorry, I was never asked. And then I contacted him and he answered me after a couple of days. And so everything is fine between us. You know, he didn't know that. He thought I was asked. I said, no, sorry.
Now, it's a lot of people, younger people in the band that weren't around, you know, obviously the one member, former member of Halloween that's not around anymore is Ingo, you know, as he died, you know, 20 some years ago now. You know, for people that weren't around back then and maybe people that just got into the band, you know, what was it like? You know, talk about what it was like playing with Ingo while he was in Halloween.
It was, yeah, I should lie if I would say it was easy and he was the best person in the world. You know, he was not easy to me. You know, I joined the band and I had more friendship with Whitey and with Mikey Kiske, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And because the main reason, I think he was a big supporter of Kai and he was a good friend of Kai. And it took 2 years that he, let's say, told me the first compliment after two and a half years when I first wrote The Chance and Mankind. He said, if I would know this before, that you can write such a good songs, he said, you know, I would not be like I was, he said.
Yeah.
So now I was thinking why he wasted so many years just to give me a compliment. Or imagine when we were touring, you see this shy guy, Roland Grappa, on stage in America on the pictures. And I had every night after the show, like, big hard times talking with him about my performance mm-hmm. on stage, you know. So, but in general, I think it makes me stronger and made me stronger because of the pressure of some band members. And he was one of them, you know. And so he was such a nice guy in a way, but also not so easy for me, you know. And people call him like Mr. Smile, but he was not always happy. That's why he was so much, you know, in this kind of drugs and sickness. And
right.
Wasn't so easy. Like people have always some imagination and some fantasy about band members. And because, you know, they never know the real truth. And I can't tell all the details. I don't want to tell the details because it's too much about privacy and stuff. I can tell you as a friend when the
right.
tape
right.
is not recorded, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of girls like him still, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not really impressed when girls writing me, how was Ingo? I said, you can ask me how I am, but you don't care. You know, it's like they're using me as a person to ask how was a guy I played 30 years ago, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy. It's sometimes fans can also insult musicians as well. They don't even feel it, you know.
Right.
Last time was the same when I sold the drums. I had the drums from him in my studio, and I just sold it. And I went back to Hamburg, by the way. And, you know, people writing me, how much you want this and that. And a lot of girls asked me, I said, what do you want with a drum kit?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You can't even play drums. It should belong to a musician, like a guy who can really play drums and is a big fan of Ingo or Halloween, you know.
Right.
So that was kind of difficult talking sometimes, believe me. So not easy. But Ingvar General was not such an easy guy and not so happy like he always looked on the pictures for them, you know. Mm-hmm. You see also some pictures when he was looking really sad, I think.
Well, you know, I mean, Ingo was he was a very good drummer on stage.
Yeah. He was a fantastic drummer, yeah. I think he was the drummer of Halloween, you know. His sound was really unique. As a musician, I can't say he was just great. Really powerful, really loud playing, technical, very good as well. But his style was something I never saw after that. Because he played the sticks the other way around, really heavy sticks. I would say the biggest ones I ever saw from the company called Elephant. And he played it the other way around. And he tuned the snare and the toms a little lower with oil skins. And he was smacking them. And he had such a nice smack sound, I would say. I never heard it after that anymore. So he had his own sound, which is not easy for a drummer to get. You know, normally they sound like a drummer on drums, you know, but he had his own sound, really. Right. And I would say double beat, 16th. He was swinging. He was swinging on the kick drums, which I never heard as well after that, because normally people play equal, like ticky, 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 but he played always, the one was always a ticky, 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 this kind of sound, you know.
Right.
And it was really easy as a guitar player to put the same feeling on it. And this is something which was totally different between him and other drummers in Halloween.
Now, you talked a little bit about writing some stuff for Masterplan, and the songs that are coming out on the next Masterplan album, the next actual original studio album, how do they compare to some of the past albums?
Yeah, it's hard. I think I try not to compare so much, but of course the time change, the feeling change as well, which you try to ignore it, but sometimes the difference is between songwriting nowadays and something you did, you know, especially for the first Masterplan or when I did, let's say, the first Halloween album, you were more naive, you were just more free, you know, you try to make something and created something totally free, without pressure. Nowadays you write and think, people like so much the first two albums of Masterplan, you know. And it's always the pressure, should I make something like this again? Should I try to let's say, copy some elements? And if you copy some elements, and I think that's the biggest mistake already,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the best is just to continue. I'm pretty sure if I would make a new album under a certain name, and people would like it, they would say, oh, that's a great album, you know. But if you make it as a album number 10 or number 7, then people always compare it, you know. They always say, okay, that's not so good like this or that. And I think it's nearly every band like that. It's in Van Halen, it's in Deep Purple, it's like that, you know. So the new Deep Purple, people would say, it's not like, you know, Machine Head or Deep Purple and Rock, which was 50 years ago or something like that. You know, it's always like that. I think it's the same with Maiden, you know. You always get compared, and that's why I like, the first album releases are always something magical. You know, if you have a new name, let's say Sirius Black, I made something there, a lot of good reviews. Okay, some people said, okay, that's not the same like this or that, whatever. But people liked it, and I felt free. I could do what I want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's easier without this brand or label called this is your band or this is that, you know, and should be like that. Because people put you in this kind of, I don't know the English word, Schublade, you know, and you open this kind of thing and you're inside, that's it, you know. You have to be like this, like AC/DC. I never liked it, you know, always the same sound. Thank you very much for being creative.
So do you have a timetable when this album is supposed to be coming out?
I think this Masterplan album with the Halloween songs, or my Halloween songs, was meant to be end of May, but I think I destroyed it already because I couldn't sing and finishing the mixing. And I think it will be delayed again, but the plan was end of May 20th or 22 or so, 2nd or something like that.
You know, vinyl seems to be something that's a big commodity these days. And, you know, your first couple records, the first two Masterplan albums were reissued on vinyl. And have you had a chance to listen to them? And, you know, what do you think?
I have them, of course, but to be honest, I never check it out because I don't see the reason to put it on. I have a turntable is the name, right?
Yeah.
So I have it still for my daddy. So it's not connected. It's upstairs in my living room. And I once listened, I think, the first or second album for 10 minutes. And I don't know the system upstairs. You know, I'm always sitting in the studio. And I'm thinking, why should I have this? Maybe it's better sounding, but why should it be better sounding when it's digitally recorded? Mm-hmm. I know the first album, I'm not fair because I was there at production. It was mixed in Finland, Finvox Studio. And we put it on analog tape on the end of the mix. So that means there's some analog stuff involved, you know. And I also use analog simulating gear, outside gear from the computer and inside and then. Because we're all aiming for this analog sound, of course, and I love it. But this trend now with the vinyl, I think it's a different thing. You know, I love the big artwork, to be honest. I like it still because I'm the old school guy. But I'm not so old school that I would say I'm listening now to vinyl, you know. And because then maybe I'm the kind of guy who thinks when you listen 10 times, this vinyl gets worse again, you know, because it gets scratches and it gets dust in it and the needle destroys a little bit. So that's the kind of thing I'm thinking. That's good on digital because, you know, even you put it in the computer, it stays forever the same sound, you know.
So, Roland, do you have any projects or anything currently that you are working on?
Not right now, no. Oh, yeah, I have. It's a band from Czech Republic. It's kind of famous singer who's singing also. Maybe some people know already about it. I was mixing the band called Citron. And Citron is a really famous band here in Czech Republic. So the neighbor country where I'm living. And the singer and some other musicians. I don't know if I can say it already, but there's a certain drummer from Masterplan drummer, ex-drummer, not Uli, involved in this project, and some other guys from Czech Republic. So the singer had a solo band, and which was famous as well, and this is called Krazon. Krazon. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a Czech name. And we played some festivals this summer, also Masters of Rock in Czech Republic, so which is really big. And we do 3 festivals, and November, December, we do a little tour, like 7 shows together.
So, do you have any last words to say to any of the fans that are going to be listening to this interview?
Yeah, I think this year we're not doing so many shows with Masterplan, just 3 festivals. One here in Slovakia, one in Spain, one in Norway, finally. And, yeah, the album comes out maybe hopefully this summer or maybe autumn, I hope, earlier. And so maybe next year we're coming back with Masterplan with more shows and hope to see you all.